What I meant by I don't know how we'll do it is we went through page one of two pages, so I'll cut some for you. As you look at the life of Jesus, what's really the example and the charge maybe that he gives us? I labeled this as his pattern. His pattern for our lives, that you look and you say, here's the, maybe the essence of what he did in order to live this great moral life that sets himself forth as an example for us. I would suggest to you, number one, he refrained from evil. Look at Matthew chapter 4. And you have the temptations there of Jesus. And I like the comment of Luke in Luke chapter 4 and verse 13 that it says the devil departed from him for a season. I think that's one of those areas that we don't, again, have all the record. We have the temptation there that's recorded for us as a record, but it's not the totality of the temptations that Jesus would face in his life. And yet he resisted them. The Hebrew writer reminds us that he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4 and verse 15. And so he resisted that which was evil. He fled from it. How often does Paul tell Timothy as a young man, you flee temptation, you flee youthful lust, reminded to abstain from all appearance of evil, withhold from those things. Time and again, we as Christians are reminded of that, but the point there is that's passive. It took action. Yes, Jesus had a response. He responded to those temptations, but that's passive in the sense of that defined what he didn't do. There were things that he refrained from, but that didn't make him in and of itself a moral man. The fact that he didn't do certain things is not ultimately what establishes him as our Savior. No, instead, on top of that, number two, you also have the things that he did that were active in nature. So you have to refrain from evil. You have to pursue after that which is good. You have to add to your life. As you look at the Galatians 5 that we read again, there's the works of the flesh. Abstain from them, but that doesn't make you a righteous person. You then also have to add to your life those fruits of the fruit of the Spirit. You have to add to your life the Christian graces that Peter would talk about. One of the chapters I love is Colossians chapter 3. Don't have time to look at it, but it establishes very clearly. Here are things that you avoid, you put to death, you mortify. Put these works of the flesh to death. Don't pursue after them anymore. But then add to your life these moral characteristics. And so there's good that we have to then pursue after. I think about Jesus' statement in John 9 and verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night's coming when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I'm going to do good while I'm here. He was pursuing after doing good. Read James 1, James 2. Again, reminders, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you think that you're a better person simply for having read or having heard or even understood the word of God, but you haven't done anything with it, you've deceived yourself. You got to put it into action. James 1 and verse 22, faith without works is dead. The great lesson of James chapter 2. Refrain from evil, pursue what is good. Well, I think there's a third characteristic that I would highlight out of Jesus' life, and that is that he perpetuated righteousness. And what I mean by that is he went about teaching. He went about instructing others, including still ourselves today, by the things that he did and taught them. He was teaching us how to live. And in that sense, what Jesus went about doing was investing in others to improve them. It's a sermon maybe I hope I'll write one day. I looked just that word up the other day in relation to Jesus. Look up how many times it talks about and he taught them. Matthew chapter 5, the crowds are around him. What does he do? He sits down and he teaches them. He instructs them concerning living a moral life. He instructs them so that their knowledge of what's right is going to grow, so that they can apply these things to their lives. Mark chapter 2 and verse 13, he went forth again by the sea. The multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. He was instructing them. That's just a subset. Mark 10 and verse 1, he rose from thence. He cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. The people resorted unto him again, and as he was known, he taught them again. He was teaching people. It wasn't just that he abstained from evil. It wasn't just that he did what was good, but then he went further and he taught others how to do it themselves. Just think about the time that he spent with his disciples, preparing them for the work that he was going to send them forth to do. So that at the end of his time with them, he would be able to say unto them, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I've taught you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." And now you're going to go forth. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. "You'll be witness of me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto all the uttermost part of the earth." You can go forth now and help others. Isn't that really to be the pattern of our lives even as Christians? We learn, we apply to our lives, and then we help others that they can apply it to their lives as well. Just one verse on that, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. "The things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Isn't that what Jesus did? That's really a challenge to our lives as we look at Jesus, and I want to be like him. I want to live according to his will, according to his teachings. And I want to strive to live as he did. Peter would summarize it this way, and we'll let this stand as our invitation tonight. In 1 Peter 3, verse 10 and 11. "He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew or step aside, run away from evil, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." You see, we can learn from the example of Jesus, and we can live it. And like him, we can enjoy the blessings that come from being faithful to the Father's will. And so that invitation's open to us still tonight. We have to ask ourselves, how am I living? What am I doing? Am I living as Jesus lived? Am I setting myself to do the will of the Father? Perhaps there's some that say, "I don't know." Just be honest with you. I don't know what the will of the Father is. We'd love to sit down and study, not to impart our will, but to show you what God has had to say. Study his word, that we can know his will. Maybe there's someone that says, "Well, I know it, and I've lived a good moral life, but I haven't been doing good in the sense of pursuing or doing that which God has instructed me." What better time to begin than right now? And so perhaps there's one that knows what they need to do in order to become a Christian, and time is right. They've heard the gospel. They've believed it. They're ready to repent of sin and confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of their sins. Follow that same great pattern we see over and over again in the book of Acts. And the promise is that if we do the things that they did, we can enjoy the blessings that they did as well. Sins can be washed away. The Lord will add us to his church. We rise as new creatures going forth. As part of that body, we can rejoice. Maybe we look at ourselves and say, "Well, I've known all that and I've done all that, but I haven't kept up. I haven't kept on pursuing that, and have grown weary and tired and stopped. It's time to get started again." And so he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. We repent of those things, 1 John 1 and verse 7 and verse 9. We can enjoy that forgiveness even tonight, and once again go on as active, faithful servants of God. And hopefully all of us can greater appreciate the great example of Jesus, look to his life, strive more to do the moral things that he did. That's the challenge and the invitation before us tonight. If we could help you with it, wouldn't you let it be known as together we stand, as we sing.